Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let the lies be lying with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Welcome to the show, and on the morning show, much has been made or discussed of the Astros' motto or slogan for this year, Chase the Fight. I'm going to go with no lead is safe until proven otherwise. And that goes for both sides. If the Astros are at the plate, you got a chance for a big inning, and certainly the Rockies use a big fifth to take control of that game, and they wind up winning 9-7. And honestly, if you are an Astro fan or the Astros team, and you enter the fifth inning up 3-0 with a pitcher most of us have never heard of starting, you kind of feel like you're playing with house money, and a guy you sign, namely Ryan Weiss, should be enough along with the rest of the bullpen to get you a win, because your bats will continue to give you opportunities. And Bolden did his job. It started out a little shaky. He got drilled by a comebacker that wound up being a hit. He was able to get out of that inning with his arm intact and a lead, because the Astros put two on the board early, top of the first inning. You're thinking to yourself, okay, a little shaky. He survived getting drilled, and let's go to work. And up until the fifth inning, where he left with a couple men on, you thought to yourself, a nice outing from a guy we had never heard of. Now, some of you may not have heard of Ryan Weiss until he signed with the Astros, so maybe he falls in that category too, but that's a guy that there were some expectations for. There's a little hype around him coming in. There's a thought that maybe he'd be part of the rotation. He is not, and he is not pitching well, but that goes for him and a lot of other Astros pitchers. He was terrible. Didn't get outs, gave up runs, and what could have been a nice 4 1/3 for Bolden turns into a no decision and a Ryan Weiss loss, because they give up, or he gives up, a total of 6. If you couple that with the two that Bolden was responsible for, Weiss gives up 6 in that inning, recovers the rest of the way, but who cares about that when you're responsible for 6 runs in the fifth inning. So the Astros lose 9-7 to the Rockies. They've tried, they fought, they kept swinging, tacking on runs to get closer. But at the end of the day, that fifth inning was too much, as the Astros go down and the Rockies batted and beat up on Ryan Weiss, beat up on Ryan Weiss in that fifth inning. So not great pitching. You would have known it going in. Their team going into the game had given up the second most earned runs in baseball. I don't know where the stat is now, but I don't imagine they fell below second after what happened yesterday. So the trouble with the pitching staff will likely be a concern until Hunter Brown is back and they find answers elsewhere. I don't know that the answers are currently on the major league roster, which is tough. So the question was asked, and I'll ask it of you, Sean. Would you rather have the no lead a safe Astros, or what we thought could have been the case, no run scored Astros? And that goes for both sides. No lead is safe on both sides. Not a lot of runs or no runs scored on both sides, because we thought the pitching would be better, and we thought the hitting needed to certainly improve over last season, but we're getting the opposite of that, where the hitting has been remarkable. They keep scoring runs, and the pitching has been a real disappointment.
I think what we're getting with this year's Astros is the... I mean, if you're not probably going to be like 95, 100 wins good, let's score some runs.
If you're going to be 85, 86 win good, let's score some runs.
Yeah, let's score some runs. Let's see. And like, there's also a little bit of like, hey, listen, you only need like you said, Hunter Brown and like one or two guys to kind of like figure things out a little bit. And I mean, not even like the Ryan Weisses of the world. It's like, Brian Abreu, figure it out. And you have like an extra two wins already. What are 10 games into the season? Like, there's just a little bit more of like, well, you know, every fifth day, hopefully, sometime relatively soon, like, you'll have Hunter Brown going, and if he does what he does, and the offense can score a ton of runs, because basically what we've gotten the last 2 years is the opposite, where it's like Hunter Brown gives up one run, and he leaves the game down 1-0, where it's just like, yeah, no, this is at least like, hey, I'm... No, like you said, no lead is safe. So it's like, hey, I'm not turning off the TV when they're down, you know, 5-3 in the fifth inning. It's like, no, they could totally score runs here.
You know, because last year there are times where you felt like there's no chance. If it was 1-0, you felt there's no chance of this game flipping, and eventually it just becomes 3-0, and then the game's over.
That 3-0 was like automatic, like,
let's pack it up.
Turn this off.
This game is over. Now you could jump up 3-0 and be down 8-3 after 5. So
Space City Home Network's like, hell yeah. I love this.
It all depends on how you feel about what's the best version of baseball for you when you know you may not have a great team. How do you want to spend your afternoons and nights? Would you rather see a lot of runs scored in the hope that, hey, even if we're down 6-2 in the sixth, we got a chance to fight back and win? Or would you rather be white-knuckling it because you're up 2-0? And just hoping and praying that holds. So either way, however you get the 86 wins, it's still just 86 wins if that's what they top out. But it is a more entertaining product. You do like guys tacking on runs, and the Astros bats have been doing a lot of that. The Astros pitching has not matched up to how prolific the offense has been. And tonight, Mike Burrows, one of your acquisitions this offseason, gets another opportunity. Not great first start. Much better second start. He'll get an opportunity to stop. It's not a losing streak per se, but it is 3 out of 4 since their start where they were good at home. They've now lost 3 out of 4, 3 to the likes of Colorado and the A's. It's not great. Maybe the AOS overall just isn't great, and these are the type of games that the Astros will have to just deal with as they try to find some real answers with their pitching. So that happened. Hopefully Mike Burrows can go a bit deeper into the game, because they needed it from Bolton. They were talking about it on the broadcast when he got drilled by that ball. They're like, yeah, it's great that he's good, but it's also good for the staff that he's actually going to be able to continue, because they were in rear dire straits with the guys who had to be used in the weekend series against the A's. So he did his job. Brian Weiss did not. And the Astros bats tried, but they could not overcome that inning. So,
whenever you get like a Bolton or like a who the bleep is this guy on the mound, I'm just like, hey, don't go full Blair Henley on me.
Just
like, don't do that.
If you don't remember that incident, because I like to call it an incident considering what happened, Henley got called up. He was a former Ranger, I believe. But he got called up to pitch for the Astros against, or maybe he's from the area. I forgot how that worked.
I think he was from
he's from the area.
They were like interviewing his parents as he was getting shelled.
So he was from the area. They had Blair Henley pitch against the Rangers at Globe Life. Is that what they call that place? And of course, it's a moment in the middle of the year where you can you can get some human interest stuff for Space City Home Network. They had hoped to be able to show the parents in showing them gleeful because of what they're Gabriela Jaquez had her family at the game, including her NBA brother Jaime, and she had a great game. And they could flash to the crowd, flash to Jaime, and go, look what proud parents and brother are like in that crowd. They tried. Space City Home Network was looking for that moment. They could not get it because I believe Blair Henley only recorded one out.
Yeah.
And gave up like 8 or 9 runs or whatever the
like
score was.
10 runs.
Yeah. So, yes, when you got moments like that, when you have pitchers you've never heard of, you're hoping to get what you got from Bolton. Hey, you got what you got. And that felt like a win.
Yeah. Like if we played the game that we normally just reserve for big or big-ish kind of games of like, what do you want? Like, what is the like minimum you want from the starting pitcher for tonight? It's like, yeah, 5 innings, 3 in runs. I would take that for Bolton. Like, let's not set the bar too high for this guy. I didn't hear about until last week or whenever it got announced that he was going to make the start.
Didn't know he was alive until
first time I heard. Oh, Bolton. Okay.
Yeah, who's that guy? No, yeah. Jason. Not Jason Alexander. It's not someone we heard of. It's Bolton.
Not Colton Gordon. There's a different one.
Yeah, there's a Bolton, not a Colton out there, and he did what he had to do, and he left a couple runners on, and Ryan Weiss was sure to inherit those runners and allow them to score, and then he had his own business to take care of by allowing 6 more runs to score in that deciding 5th inning. So. Burroughs tonight. We did have a moment. Cam Smith hit a ball so hard that the center fielder for the Rockies was going to pull at Jake Myers, except the ball went over the fence. He lost the ball in a major league ballpark as opposed to what Jake Myers did. But the only reason he lost it is because it was so high and so far. Cam Smith hit a bomb to center field that gave the Astros a 3-0 lead. And after that, it was time for the 5th inning and the Ryan Weiss show. And we saw what happened there. We'll go to break of fat because my motto of anybody but Hurley, one out. The question, and it's one that I didn't take into account. The person who follows this show is a Michigan guy, and Sean brought it to my attention that it was yesterday in the preview to the game, but there may be several hours of insufferable Michigan fan celebration. So, Sean might have been on the side of anybody but Michigan. We'll see, and you'll see a little bit later with Rich Eisen how he celebrates in Michigan when we'll talk about the title game. And of course, it's UConn, so no one could shoot because that's what UConn does in title games. No one scores, at least doesn't score proficiently. But Michigan gets it done, so we'll talk about that when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Mara guides it over to McKinney. Break opportunity. Landeblor takes it to the rim. Baker, no. Slam down. Gale devours it.
How about Roddy Gale Jr.?
Roddy Gale, the Michigan, let's call him a guard, a swingman, who had a dunk that made it 33-28. Why am I playing a dunk late in the first half? Because that dunk means you get a free small fry and Frosty today and today only from participating Wendy's locations. That's what Wendy's tweeted out after that dunk. So in a game where three-point shooting wasn't great, where it just felt like every UConn title game, honestly. This time they came in, well, at least the Dan Hurley ones. This one wound up with them coming up short with Michigan winning their first national title since 1988. If you had to watch that game and didn't enjoy it very much, there's a little something for you. Go to Wendy's. You don't even have to buy anything. And go, hey, see that Roddy Gale dunk? Well, I did. I want a fry and a Frosty. Small fry and a Frosty. at your participating Wendy's location. So Michigan wins. They had a lead pretty much from late in the second half on. Like, they got it. I think their first three-pointer in their second half made it a double-digit game. And, of course, UConn didn't go away. But they did enough, poor shooting at all, to win a national title. So that's the national title in basketball for the Big Ten. Football and, well, basketball, men's and women's, and football. So currently, as far as the sports we watch the most on television, unless you're a big college baseball fan, the Big Ten rules all.
And in college baseball,
they'll never win it.
No, UCLA is the number one team in the nation.
You know what? We're having this discussion this morning about would a Big Ten team ever win a college baseball World Series, considering the demographics and how the sport is played today. Because just it's hard to get guys up there, or hard to get a good baseball team up in the North. You tend to forget that West Coast baseball was a thing at a time. And UCLA is in the Big Ten, so I said they would never, thinking of like Northwestern and Illinois and Michigan, Ohio State, but there is UCLA. And USC, way back when, had good baseball teams, so UCLA very well could. Oregon State actually won a couple national titles, I think, in baseball, at least one. So Oregon State, not in the Big Ten, but Oregon certainly puts money into the baseball program. So
if
it could
happen.
If you're
an Oregon fan, you're like, Oregon State won one.
Yeah, we could win one. We certainly invest in the program. So the Big Ten could win one. I don't see it coming from traditional Big Ten schools. It'll come from the newly added ones that have played baseball on the West Coast for a while now. So maybe at some point there'll be a conference that holds the title in all, you would say, the major sports.
All the Infinity Stones.
Yeah. So that's baseball, two basketballs, a football. Would soccer be the final Infinity Stone?
I was just going to do baseball so we don't have to cut too deep of like, well, what is the fifth biggest?
Well, they do what do they call it, the College Cup?
The Commissioner's Cup?
Well, that's the thing where you say all the sports together, who's the best sports program. But I think they call the Final Four in soccer the College Cup or something like that. They do that in like North Carolina.
I thought you were saying like the conference rankings for the Commissioner's Cup. Because it's always between like Stanford, Texas, and like maybe like UCLA.
Yeah, they dominate in the non-revenue sports. They do quite well in that stuff. But either way, Michigan wins. Anyone but Hurley thrives. You will get a taste of Michigan celebrations at about noon.
Yes.
And maybe for the entire show. I don't know how he's going to handle it, but
Rich
Eisen, Michigan grad. Yeah, we weren't carrying his show during their title run, so we don't know how he handled Michigan winning a national title in football.
Mm-hmm.
We're about to get a taste of it in basketball. Look, I don't have to deal with it per se. I'll be still here working, but if I don't want to tune into the celebrations, that's fine. I can do that. So I am right here with, thank goodness it wasn't Connecticut. Anyone who will listen to Rich Eisen may feel differently. I don't know how he handles winning titles. Sean will. He'll know. You'll be able to report back tomorrow.
Yeah, I can report back at 12.
to me, but as far as the show is concerned,
unless you want to
chime in during the middle of Rich Eisen.
Maybe.
Man, Rich.
Take out a spot or something.
Hey, there was a time, let's say several years ago, to protect the guilty.
Different era
where a person who had your role, where we were carrying a national show, but had to make sure it stayed on the rails, would like play sound effects during that show from our board that had nothing to do with the show, just to, you know, take some ownership of what was going on. I'm not saying you should do that. I'm just saying it has been done in the past.
It has been done in the past. Different era.
Different era. Once again, in the past is the operative phrase here. In the past. Different management, different personnel. It has happened, though. Let's let Rich Eisen live. I mean, it could
I also hear how he still defends, like, J.J. McCarthy because of what he did in 2023.
As an NFL quarterback, he defends him? Okay. Well, that's not great.
So, again, it's not just a today thing. This will be for the foreseeable future.
Yes.
College basketball comes up.
He'll be able to. How many times will Hail to the Victors play today? Does he play the music on the show?
No, he'll probably like sing it though. He'll probably like, you know, a cappella.
I'd rather have the fight song if we're going to do that. Just play the fight song.
Maybe, he normally gets a few stanzas in.
It's a great fight song. Just play that. All right. Sticking with college basketball.
He made a guest sing it when Michigan beat.
As a bet or something?
Yeah, beat their school. I think it was like, was it? I forgot who it was that they beat. But yeah. So he's all about the Michigan Wolverines.
Here's the thing.
He's had Chris Webber on like three times the last 3 weeks.
Makes sense. The entire Fab Five was at the semifinal. They had their own game casts where they were on. I don't know if they did it for the final four or the final game, the title game, but they for the semifinal, all five of them sat next to each other and called in some ways the game as the game was going on. I don't think any of them did what Steve Holman did, the Hawks play-by-play guy. I don't know if they attacked an Arizona player in that same way, but they had a chance to watch their Wolverines first win the semifinal, then win the national title.
This is what Krivas does.
He shouldn't be playing college basketball.
See how he put his foot under
dirty. What do you use? Dirty rotten, whatever.
Dirty rotten.
Dirty rotten is what Steve Holman called Gogo Patati, and then the entire Magic team, which is certainly a choice.
It's damning.
Yes, their entire team. I don't know what he thinks of Jamal Mosley, but as far as the team itself, dirty rotten. So I'm glad that UConn lost. Didn't particularly enjoy the game. It was fine.
We got to do something about that, UConn. Like, let's be watchable. If you're going to play in a title game, seven times in the last 25 years or whatever it is, let's mix in a, 85 to 83 game, huh?
Unlikely.
Let's just, nothing will ever be worse than the UConn-Butler one.
No, not a chance.
But, I think it was either at halftime or early in the second half, they did the team comparison thing or they show all the, relevant stats. And it's like one team was 1 for 15. The other team was 2 for 25 from three. I was just like, oh, my God. What are you?
So here is a stat that was compiled as the game was closing out. It wasn't completely over, but the worst. This is from Matt Norlander. The worst combined three-point shooting showing in a national title game. You mentioned that UConn versus Butler game. UConn over Butler in 2011, 22.7%. At the time that he had the stat, it was Michigan and Connecticut, 7 for 41, which is just over 17%. They closed out at just under 23%. So barely surpassing the worst three-point shooting night in title game history.
And I'm guessing just with the difference of, 15 years and how the game is played, that means they probably took, 20 more.
Well, UConn took 33 because they were trying to get back in it.
2011, teams were not taking 33 threes.
No, not a chance. In fact, it's easy to look up, so we can find that. But not aesthetically pleasing, but if the result that you're looking for was Dan Hurley goes home sad, you got that.
Yeah.
Which
take out the trash now, Dan.
Well, Jay Wright, did Jay Wright ever lose a title game? Don't think that he did. So
they either lost in the second round.
Either they won a national title or got knocked out very early. So, hey, Dan, Jay Wright never lost a national title game. Go take out the garbage. If you missed it, that's a quote. Or his wife, Dan Hurley's wife, relayed a story about how he would stumble over the garbage and then she would say, take out the trash. And he would say, does Jay Wright take out the trash? Which is a wild thing to say to your wife.
Insane.
It's an insane. We're making fun of it. Because we were discussing who our contemporaries would be, and if our significant other said, hey, take out the trash, and I was like, hey, does Figgy have to take out the trash? Like, who would we use? Like, I guess the Lance would say, does Sean Pendergast have to take out the trash? In fact, he probably does. And I would assume that Jay Wright has to take out the trash at some point, but not Dan Hurley, who can't even order things on his You know what? That's a bit that he gets off because she's allowing it. Don't allow the guy who's coaching a major college basketball program and runs that program to pretend like he doesn't know how a phone works and he can't order off the phone. Stop it. That's
dude, you're 40. You know how this stuff works.
He set that standard and he's letting that lie and she's letting it play out. But you don't have to.
No.
The man can figure out and negotiate NIL money with the player and have conversations about his future in the program or does he need to go someplace else. But he can't figure out how to order food on DoorDash. cut it out.
Yeah, he can be pretend. He can pretend to be interested in the Lakers job, but he can't.
Yeah, there are some things he doesn't have a handle on.
By the way, Butler was 9 for 33 in that title game.
That's the number when you're trying to come back, I guess.
Yeah, UConn was 1 for 11. They only shot 11 though.
But
thank God, both teams were way over that at halftime.
It was an atrocious performance shooting the basketball. Dusty May did a good job running his team out into the big house to deal with depth perception. Apparently, it only lasted one game. He did it, and it helped them against Arizona. Didn't do much as far as the title game is concerned.
That is such a college – I'll just say college sports. It's college basketball. If there's some analog to college football, like a college football team would do the same thing, where it's like, am I really led to believe that one afternoon shooting hoops – in the big house, like, led to them, like, any, like, discernible difference of when they went to Indy and put up shots? Like,
I mean,
they did it once. they did it once in the big house.
When you shoot 44% from three, people will say, hey, look at Dusty May at it again, because he also is credited with figuring out that Krivas doesn't allow lobs. So instead of trying to do it directly, you throw it off the backboard. Krivas commits the block of the shot, and your guy's on the weak side for the rebound and the putback. So they did that a couple times on purpose. That was part of their game plan. So if he's going to get that off, of course people are going to believe running a mobile or portable court into the big house and shooting for like 20 minutes is going to lead to your performance shooting in a national semifinal. Shooting unguarded in the big house on field turf led to playing or shooting the way they did in this national semifinal.
Never mind, they have like a practice and a shoot around in the gym, like the day before.
No.
Okay.
It is taking that court into the big house. Got him ready. If not for that, none of the semifinal stuff would have happened.
That is such a like tall tale like element of like
when you win the national title, it's part of the lore.
Yeah.
This is what Coach May did, and of course you can never call him by his name if you're part of the program. Oh, yeah. It has to be Coach May. It can't be Coach. It can't be Dusty May. It can't be Dusty. It has to be Coach May. Mm-hmm. Like, how many people in that building actually call him Dusty? Or call any coach by their first name?
Well, Dusty might call his subordinates by their first name.
Definitely. But does anyone call Coach Dusty May Dusty? Just first name only?
Unless he has, like, some... you know, wise assistant coach.
Like an older,
a mentor.
He brought in, to help him out,
Steve Fisher or John Beilein or someone.
Well, they did ask John Beilein about them winning because he was part of those, a couple teams who got close but never won.
It should have been me, but Rick Pitino and Louisville were cheating in 2013.
Yeah.
Paying players.
I wish someone was as petty as we were and just pointed it out.
Hey, they stripped Louisville of that title. Give it to me, damn it.
Because if not for their cheating, I would have been a national champion. So Coach May and Coach Beilein can commiserate as Michigan has their long sought after national title. Oh, the Fab Five, whatever.
Yeah. I bet Coach Hurley regrets not wheeling out a rim to, I don't know what the name of the UConn football field is. But just, hey, guys, hey, solo ball. Braylon Mullins, throw a couple shots at this and then
Caravan.
Yeah, Caravan. Yo, definitely Caravan. And hey, all right, job done. We're going to shoot 44% from the three.
Yeah, Pratt and Whitney Stadium at Rentschler Field. Should have rolled out the court to Rentschler Field and got some shots up. Although he would say, I've been to two Final Fours the last three seasons, now a third and fourth. I kind of got it figured out.
Yeah, but you play prison ball every time, right?
It is a bit of a look. I mean, you win, it doesn't matter.
But no, it doesn't.
Before the unbiased observer, in my case, I was biased against them. It's not a brand of basketball I particularly enjoy.
And it is something where it's like unbiased, but it's been, I don't know, six times that I remember sitting down and watching these games, and six times they're unwatched. I'm like, oh my God. You know what? It's great because it's not the case you get like at the end of a Super Bowl or at the end of like a really well played NBA Finals where you're like, man, I can't believe I have to go months without NFL football now.
No, I'm good.
Yeah, college basketball. These are the two best teams.
I'll see you in October.
Cool.
Good.
See you at Feast Week.
Yeah, I mean, Michael Malone gets hired, so that's some big news. If you missed it, Michael Malone's the new head coach at UNC, so there are rumors about Dusty May, some Tommy Lloyd stuff, but it turns out that they had their eyes on a out-of-work former NBA coach, and one of the reasons I mentioned out-of-work, UNC appreciated not having to pay a buyout. It's always part of the game that gets played. Uh-huh. They got to pay Hubert Davis to go away. They don't have to pay whoever was employing their next head coach because this coach didn't have a job except for ESPN, I think. He worked for ESPN.
Yeah.
So you ain't got to pay ESPN to take Michael Malone away. I'm sure it's part of the deal he signed. If I go, there's no buyout here. So they get their man. We'll see if they can avoid, if he can avoid the issues that Bill Belichick did coming from the professional ranks to the college ranks and not knowing really how to handle that. Mike Malone spent some time as an assistant with Providence back in the 90s and Manhattan, so it's been a while for him. He's been out of the college game a long time, but he gets a shot to coach at one of the premier programs of college basketball, and his daughter plays, I believe, volleyball there, so I'm sure that was an added benefit to him to do that.
That nice. Doesn't make me feel better, by the way.
It doesn't.
Not the the volleyball part.
No, that's like more the human interest part.
Yeah,
than
at least we don't have to pay a buyout. Come on, you're UNC basketball. Pay a damn buyout. Harrison Barnes be like, I'm not sure about it.
I've heard stories from the Nuggets about him and the Grizzlies about him. Or was the Kings? It was the Kings. I've heard stories. Yeah. Did Harrison Barnes actually play under him as a King?
He may actually be able to.
Probably not. It's long ago.
Yeah, that was like 2014-15 range. He was still on the Warriors.
But. He goes, I heard from Julian Strother about him. Not great.
Yeah, do it without Jokic, buddy.
Yes. So Hubert Davis apparently should have foreseen this coming because he brought Michael Malone around the program to talk to the players. So he let him in, and look what happened. This was back in October. He had him speak to the players, and he went on the Carolina podcast. So the administration was familiar with them. They like what they heard, I guess, and now he's their new head coach. So we got another big name in college sports, this time from the NBA ranks, Michael Malone, the head coach of the UNC Tar Heels. All right, we'll go to break with that. We'll get to some Rockets because they're back in action tonight, and an old friend will be available as well. I'll tell you about that, and I'll ask a question regarding the Texans because Lance dropped a nugget at the end of the show that we didn't get a real chance to talk about, and I think it's interesting because you hear these conversations and you have to protect the people involved, but a question was asked about a Texans star, and I'll ask the question, how much would it take for you to consider making this trade? We'll do that when we get back.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So the Rockets, late night against the Suns. It's a 10 o'clock tip-off. Guys, I like watching the Rockets, like talking about them. I got to be honest. If I see this game in its entirety, it's because I watched it during the Don Lance show. I'm not watching this entire thing. I might get to halftime, but you know the wake-up call. Yeah.
I got to be the one, or not the one that breaks it, but the one that confirms it to Brian McDonald and Joe George yesterday. Because Brian was like, did I read that correctly, that as they're previewing this week in whatever national broadcast, it's like, I thought it said 11 p.m. Eastern time for the next.
Oh, it did, like, Brian.
Yeah, no, that's it 100% did. Right.
It is part of a doubleheader on NBC.
Yeah.
Hornets, Celtics. All of a sudden, the Hornets and the Celtics are an appealing matchup, and it gets the 7 p.m. primetime slot for NBC Peacock, and the doubleheader involves our Houston Rockets against the Suns at 10 p.m. local time. You know what? Nah, not the whole thing. I'll be up for a quarter and a half, maybe halftime, but at some point, I got to pack it in. Hopefully, the Rockets will put this game away to a point where even I think they won't blow a fourth quarter lead. I can never rule it out, so I may go to bed with them up double digits and wake up and they've lost by three. It's just who they are.
Yeah.
But
We need, like, the Rockets lead conversion rate, where it's like the Rockets leading by 14 with 8 minutes left. That's like a normal team leading by whatever, six with 4 minutes left.
Yeah.
Like where it's like it's a lead, but it's not.
It's still within the realm of possibility that
you
a comeback
shave
is going to
happen. Like, shave off like 8 points just like off the top of like, yeah, that's about what it is.
Yeah, so Dylan Brooks, as I mentioned before we went to break, an old friend, he had a technical rescinded, so he'll be available to play tonight. The Suns don't have very much to play for. They're pretty much where they're going to be as far as seeding is concerned. The Clippers could catch them mathematically. Mathematically, they could catch the Wolves, who continue to play without Anthony Edwards. And the Anthony Edwards thing, they were making it sound like the same thing that kept Steph. Well, they're calling it runner's knee. That kept Steph out of the lineup for a good bit. So while Luka is going to Germany to see if he can find a way to get back sooner than possible, Anthony Edwards may be another NBA star who could be questionable for the playoffs. If it's as bad as what Steph had, who missed multiple weeks, and Anthony Edwards has been trying to nurse this thing as he wants to be available for the Wolves and a potential playoff run. So, As it stands now, the Rockets are the fifth seed, going to Phoenix. The belief, because of how injured the Lakers are, is that the four seed is certainly a viable thing to chase after, and that would simply mean you would start a series at home, which, going by what the Lakers were doing before the injuries and how the Nuggets have been playing, seemed like a not-so-distinct possibility, but the Rockets have ripped off six in a row. The Lakers have lost their last two, and they've got the Thunder on their schedule. I believe they have the Suns as well. So there's a chance that you could have home court advantage, and I believe that's what you shoot for, particularly if you get a hobbled Lakers team, no matter what they shoot into Luka's leg in Germany. So
yeah, that to me, that's the biggest difference between like yesterday and today, is like learning more and getting more clarity about Luka's status, because it got announced as out for the rest of the regular season and like we'll see for the playoffs. Now it seems like even if he does play in the playoffs,
it won't be first round.
It won't be in the first round, and it won't be Luka Doncic.
No.
Like, it won't be like the guy that you're used to.
It's a guy who stories will be written about how he's gutting through an injury and trying to play for the team and stuff like that.
Imagine how many times he'll bend over and grab his knee after a missed shot.
All Peter Griffin grabbing at it'll be that.
That's something for the, you know, newer list. That's something that we clocked. Was it? I think it was during like the Mavericks run to the finals. We were like, you know, ever notice how much more injured he is in the bad games, where it's like he really is like messing with the knee sleeve that he has on. It's really when he misses step back jumpers. When he makes them, he's staring down people,
barking,
yelling at the crowd.
If you told me he had a razor blade somewhere to cut to cause that blood that you always see on his leg in a bad game, I'd be like, you know what? It's possible. If he was really into wrestling and he always had one waiting to create the blood
Nature
patch
Boy.
That we all look at and see, man, he's really going through it. I wouldn't put it past him.
Nature Boy Luka Doncic.
Yeah. It only happens when things are going poorly as far as the shooting is concerned. But
so you could get that in the first round or have him, you know.
Not available at all. You could see him in street clothes sitting on the bench watching LeBron and Rui Hachimura.
Yeah.
Bronny. More minutes for Bronny. Look at that.
Sounds like Bronny just became important at work and it ruined his life. Like,
me?
Oh, me?
Are we going to get a moment where the first ever assist between father and son in a playoff game?
Oh.
Stuff like that, yeah.
I mean,
now it's happening in a game they're down by 20, but sure.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's definitely happening. I was like, maybe LeBron sets up Bronny. I don't know if Bronny sets up LeBron.
I think it's more likely Bronny sets up LeBron.
Like in a fast break?
Yeah, kind something of like that.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, there's some moment where it'll be captured and it'll be part of the James family lore. And I'm sure it'll be maybe a lob that's a great picture and it'll be part of their legacy. But as far as it leading to a win.
Like they recreate the Dwayne Wade LeBron
That's
picture.
Sacrilegious. Let's not play games here.
Oh, it's his son.
Let's not play games. Please. Stop. What would happen would be, I'm sure it'd be a nice pass. And people would put it in the same line of when Chris Paul knocks down a three to get the team within like 46, whatever that meme is, when they're getting their ass kicked by the Mavericks.
It's definitely getting the video, the score will be cropped out.
Yeah.
Like
the vertical video, but we won't have the actual scores. The Rockets are up by 15 in the fourth quarter or however, or whenever it happens.
That's my favorite social media move, is like when, like a cool play, like undoubtedly a cool play, but the team account tweets it out with the score cropped out.
Yeah,
like they
we don't need
zoom
you to
it in.
We don't need you to know. I mean, we kind of all know the result, but we don't need to
down 30.
We don't need to capture it in this video.
It's more about for 5-10 years from now when it's like, you know, Cam Thomas was a problem highlight videos where it's like, okay, not all of them. They're down 25. Some of them, I don't know what the score is.
Yeah, if the NFL could have found a way to create that Derek Stingley video without Lovie Smith in it, when there's the corner, the first piece of the new Texans or however they put it, Lovie Smith's actually on the phone. They got to find a way to crop Lovie Smith out.
AI deep fake.
The problem is Derek Stingley's not that engaging when he's talking, so they couldn't just have Derek Stingley. He did make the joke about you'll find out when they said it was when his family asked him what was going on the phone. But they needed the Lovie Smith side of it if they had their way. It could have been just been Derek Stingley being a personality in his own little draft war room. Instead, Lovie had to make the call. They put it on social media. Derek Stingley, one of the first pieces to the Texans rebuild.
It all started there.
Started with Nico. The year before, but that's what happens when you're a third round pick. We talked about it. You don't get the same type of feature in that NFL rookie show that they have. All right, we'll go to break with that. We're past the break. We'll get into hour two when we come back. So Rockets, 10 p.m. tonight. If you got a job that allows for you to do that, great. I would actually have a job that allows me to do that. I just don't know if I'm going to make it, man. Maybe a mid-afternoon nap is in store for me to get it done.
I think if you had my schedule, you could do it.
I would do it.
Easily.
But I don't.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's going to happen.
That's all right.
I'll watch it.
No one's expecting that. You can watch the...
I'll watch it during John and Lance. Yeah. That first hour.
Condensed game or something.
When John and Lance actually has some energy from 7 to 8. I'll watch it then. All right, we'll go to break with that.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boost and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at chumbacasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.